number 2. We're going to read this morning. We got to read some, but it is the Word of God. I'm not going to ask you to stand. I'm going to let you relax in this nice air-conditioned building. But I am going to read a few verses, and I'm going to try to get through these because I want you to hear the story where the spies were sent to Jericho, and they went into the house of Rahab. It says, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go and view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country.' And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, 'Bring forth the men that are come unto thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country.' And the woman took the 2 men and hid them and said thus, 'There came in men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whether the men went, I know not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them.' But she had brought them up into the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way of Jordan unto the fords, and as soon as they had which pursued after them were gone, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them on the roof, and she said unto the men, 'I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our heart did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father, my mother, my brethren, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death.' And the men answered her, 'Our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee.' And then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, 'Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterwards ye may go your way.' And the men said unto her, 'We will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come unto the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou hast let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father, thy mother, thy brethren, and all thine household home to thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and he will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in thine house, his blood shall be on our head, if by any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us swear.' And she said, 'According unto your words, so be it.' And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window." Now this morning, I want to preach for just a few minutes on this subject, hanging by a thread. Now, I want us to look for just a little bit. I want us to see just historically what happened in this story. The children of Israel were led out of Egypt, and they got over there, and God began to deliver them after they had spent 40 years in the wilderness. God is going to take them into the promised land. And they come up on this city that is called Jericho, and they looked at it, and it's a defense city. It had great walls. And they sent spies into the city to check out what was in the city and what was there. And it was not by chance, that they went into the house of Rahab. You see, if you look at the Word of God in the second chapter here that we read, between the verses 9 and 11, you see that this woman actually believed in the power of God. She believed that God had led them out of Egypt. She believed that God had destroyed their enemies in their face. And she said in the 11th verse, she said, "The Lord your God is God in heaven." So she believed. You know, God knows what's in our hearts. God knows where to send us. God knows what to do. And she went, and she was there believing, and they went to her house. I believe not by chance. When she got there and they got to her house, and the spies came in, she hid them upon the roof. Now, when they came knocking on the door, they say, "Do you have any spies here?" Now, you know, you're not supposed to tell a lie. But, you know, here's the thing I want you to understand about how we follow rules. We're going to follow the rules of the government until they interfere with the Word of God. I was watching something recently about how the Jews were treated. And I want to tell you something. We don't need to forget that. We don't need to forget what the Bible said about the Jews either. He said, "I will bless those that bless thee, and I will curse those that curse thee." Now, I want to tell you something, Christians in church, and this ought to affect the way that you vote, because if you're, and I can't help but tell you this, I'm just going to preach. If your voting don't line up with your convictions of the Bible, there's something wrong with you. If there's something wrong, if your living on Saturday night don't correspond with the way you come to church on Sunday morning, there's something wrong. I've heard people say, "Well, don't talk to me about science. Don't talk to me about how I vote. Don't talk to me about how I live. I keep my religion separated from my science. I keep it separated from the way I vote. I keep it separated from my Saturday night life." There might be something wrong with your salvation if things are not lined up in your life. This woman sees them coming in, and they knock on the door. You know what she could have done? She could have done like a lot of people did. They turned them over. They said they're in the basement. They're hiding in the barn. They're hiding in the closet. And they kill the Jews by the thousands with machine guns because nobody would do the right thing. Now, I didn't know that was coming, but there it is. She hid them. And then she let them down by a cord. She dropped a line out the window, a red cord, and they came down the cord. And as they were leaving, if you look at the 12th to the 13th verse, she made a plea for her family. She said, "I have brethren, I have sisters, I have a mother, I have a dad." And they told her, "If you will bring them into this house and keep them in this house when we come," because we're going to come. And can I tell you this? Jesus is going to come. And he's going to win. He's the victor. He's the king. And let me tell you, when he comes again, he's not going to be wearing fisherman sandals. He's going to be riding on a great white horse. And on his vesture, it's going to say King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. And when he speaks, it's going to be like a waterfall of 1,000 voices coming out. And every person, every knee is going to bow before him. They said, "When we come, if everybody's in the house, they're going to be safe. But if you go outside that door, we're not going to be responsible." Well, guess what happened? She hung that cord out. They went down by it. She left it hanging in that window. That's what they told her to do. Well, just like they said, they came and they marched around that city. They shut that city up. They closed the gate. And they were afraid because they knew of the power of God. And they marched around that city, and on the seventh day, they marched around it 7 times, and they gave a great shout. And the scripture says that the walls fell down flat. Now, let me tell you something, and you can prove this if you want to study it through archaeology, because the Bible is true, and here's why your science lines up with your Bible, because there's never been 1 ounce of science nor one spade turned over by an archaeologist that has disproved this book. They studied about Jericho, and you know what they found out? The walls did not fall inward. They fell outward. Now, normally when a city is under attack and they're throwing the catapults and the stones and the things that they would use to beat down the walls would fall inwardly, and it would make it difficult for the approaching soldiers to be able to get through. But these walls fell down flat. All but one little area. Little area on the wall. They had a scarlet thread hanging out the window. Now, I want you to consider that, and I want you to look at this as we look at just a few things about hanging by a thread. Now, if you look at this story, we see it started off with the spies. Their lives were literally hanging by a thread. You know, I heard recently, and it's sad, but it was someone that I knew by a little distantly, but they lost a child in a skydiving accident. Pulled the chute, and it didn't open. The instructor came and pulled the emergency, and when it opened, it entangled with his chute. And there was an 8-year-old, I believe it was, and an instructor that passed. Every time we mash the brakes of our car, do you ever think about that brake fluid going through that little brake line? I bought a Jeep one time from my uncle, and I went and got it, and there was something wrong with the brakes. This thing came out of New York, and it had so much rust. When I crawled under it, I said, this whole thing needs to be replaced. And I was driving that thing home. I had a little bit of brakes. A brake line busted. Let me tell you, when a brake line busts and all the fluid goes out on the ground, your life is hanging by a thread. When they were coming down that cord and they were holding on to that cord, their life was literally hanging by a thread. But here's what I want you to understand this morning. This message is really not about them. It's really not. You see, God was with them, and God sent them to the place that he wanted them to go. And here's what I want you and I to understand. As long as we're on this earth, and I'm talking about preaching the gospel, I'm talking about serving the Lord, I'm talking about standing up for what you believe in, as long as God's hand is on you and you're doing God's work, nobody's going to be able to touch you until God says it's time for you to come and be with me. Remember when Paul was over there and he was shipwrecked and they landed on the island and they came and he reached over and a viper came out and bit him? I'm not talking about tempting God. I'm talking about being under the protection of God. They were under the protection of Almighty God. And if you're under the protection of Almighty God, don't fear, just trust and obey. Why? Because they had a purpose. This is important right here. They had a purpose because they were on a mission from God. Now, I could stop here, but I can't stop here. Why are you here? Why are we here on this earth? We are not here for ourselves. They were on a mission from God. God held their safety in his hands. And I'll tell you this morning. I'll speak of these spies whose lives were hanging by a thread. Do not fear to follow God. Remember our motto here at this church, and I want to repeat this because I want people to get it. It's not about us, it's about Him. If everything you do it for the honor and glory of God, you're not going to get offended when you do it and somebody doesn't say, oh, did you see what they did? It's not about us, it's about Him. And when people ride by this building, I want them to know that it's about Him. They weren't there, great, mighty men of war, spies, because it was about them. They were there for God's business. Now consider Rahab, whose life was hanging by a thread. Now, the scripture says and refers to her as Rahab the harlot. Well, we know what a harlot is. It's a prostitute. And when you think of that, you think, well, how sad or how bad or how awful that would be. And I want you to think about this for just a minute, how bad that is. We see it on the news. It's still common today. There are countries that you can go to that are places that I don't want America to ever be like. And when you think about this and you think about this woman, what a sad way to live your life. You see, I've heard people say, well, they wouldn't be doing that if they didn't want to do that. And, you know, anybody who does that, that's the way that they want to live. Really? There may be some. But I want to tell you, I believe most of them would love to be out of that life. I believe they'd love to have a mama and daddy that loved them enough that they could pick up the phone and call and say, Mom, I'm in trouble. They'd love to have a daddy that was the right, hey, by the way, the right kind of daddy, because that might have been a little bit of the problem to start with, and call and say, Daddy, I love you. Would you come to where I'm at? Would you come help me? See, the truth is, who would actually want to live this kind of life? Who was the leader of this family? It was Rahab. She said, I've got brothers. I've got sisters. I've got a mama. I've got a daddy. See, when I look at this story, and I'm just basing this on the people that I've tried to help in my life, I see her as being leader of the family. Maybe she was the oldest sister, okay? She had little sisters and little brothers, and she didn't want them to be involved in that kind of life. And she had a mom and daddy that needed help, and what else was she going to do? And you say, well, she did that because she wanted to. Maybe she didn't really know what else to do. There's people out there right now that are in trouble. Their lives are in shambles. And I want to tell you something, church. If we don't stand up and be a church, they're not going to get any help because there's nowhere else for them to go. You say, who would actually really want to live this life? Think about it. The misery, the abuse, the disrespect, the fear. Used and discarded. You see, something that I think is true of every woman and every man is everybody needs to be loved. I don't believe there's a woman right now or a man right now walking the face of this earth that if they couldn't be with somebody that would love them and treat them right and do them right, that would be where they'd want to be. Now, I know we're not perfect and we butt heads like mules. But everybody wants to be loved. So did Rahab. See, but when you look at her, her life was hanging by a thread. You see, her life was broken. She had little or no hope at all for the future. But here's something unique about Rahab. Rahab believed. So how could she be living that way and believe? There's a lot of people out there in trouble right now that just need to know there's a place that they can get something that will help them. Rahab believed. And when the spies came into her house, but remember, they didn't go by chance. Folks, God knows how to do his business. And they came into the house, and she spoke to them. And she said, I've seen what the Lord did when he led you out of Egypt, when you crossed the Red Sea, or when you defeated the Amorites. I've seen the hand of God on you, and I know we're in trouble in this country. But I want to tell you something, church. God's not left his people. God is on the... Here's what I believe. Y'all ever bought a house? You ever went and looked at a place? And you go in and you go and they're digging the foundation and then they put up the walls and the roof goes on. I tell you where we're at right now. The last coats of paint's going on the trim. I tell you, it's getting finished up. It's getting ready for God's people. See, she believed. And God knew she believed. Consider others. How about the household of Rahab? You see, the household of Rahab was hanging by a thread. Imagine this. Imagine living in a city with an oppressive government, with rules that sometimes you don't want to follow, but you have to follow them or not live. Not knowing where your next meal was going to come from, not having an opportunity, and looking at the oldest daughter in your house, hoping she can provide some help. A lot of people like that today. There's a lot of kids that are trying to take care of the little ones because mama and daddy are laid up in a bed on drugs. I want to tell you something. I've heard stories of little kids that when from the time they're small, they learn how to push a chair up to the cabinet, climb up on top of the counter to get to the cereal box because mama's passed out in the bed on painkillers. Yeah. We don't want to preach Jesus. America's only hope is Jesus. Yeah. The household of Rahab was hanging by a thread. And the truth is, the thread in the window was their only hope. Could you imagine Rahab saying, come into the house and they go in? I would be one of those. I'd go over and I'd look at that thread. And I'd look at that door. And you know what I can't hardly stand? I can't stand the waiting. I can't stand it when they tell us we can go back to normal in a week and we can do it in 2 weeks and two more weeks of another 2 weeks. And I'm one of those, if it snows 2 days, I go crazy. I'll get outside. I did this one time. I went out there under a snow patch. I had a fire pile, and I dug under the snow till I got to something dry, and I lit a fire, and I said, I'll beat this snow. Can you imagine being in the house? The thread in the window, the only hope for survival. But here's what they did. They didn't know everything, but they trusted in the message. They trusted what was told them. But could you imagine if you're looking and you see this great army circling and this little thread hanging down? Would you imagine even asking the question, will they see the thread? Will it even be seen when they come? Remember, this is war, and rough things happen in war. And, you know, can you imagine even when the walls begin to shake and they fell out thinking that my house is going to fall when the rumbling starts? But it didn't fall. Well, it didn't fall, but will it be honored? Do you trust them? We got a problem with trust today. Who can you trust? Who can you really believe? Who do you care for? Will it be honored? She knew that truth is, and we've said this, not many people do the right thing. But I want to show you something if we flip over to Joshua chapter number 6, verse number 22 and 25. Let me give you some good news. You already know it from the Word of God, but the Scripture says that Joshua said thus unto the two men that were spied out of the country, go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the 25th verse says, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive in her father's household, and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent out to spy Jericho. Says to this day, what does that mean? That means her household was brought into Israel. I'm going to give you more scripture in a minute. Let me give you a verse over in the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse number 31. Let me tell you something. God is still in the soul-saving business. Amen. Amen. Problem we have today with seeing people saved is they just people don't think they need to get saved. That's why the United States of America is the most difficult mission field to operate in, because people don't think they need God, but they do. Acts 16:31 says this, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And I saw this, and I saw this about Rahab, and I saw this about her family, and I read these verses that God fulfilled what he said he would do, and I thought about what it said over in the book of Acts. And let me tell you this, and we're going to move on because we got other things to talk about, but it does make a difference whether or not you live for God. It does matter. People today have just found substitutes. But what people need is Jesus. What America needs is Jesus. We're not going to solve America's problems any other way. You see, the spies were literally hanging by a thread, but the life of Rahab, it was hanging by a thread. The life of her family was hanging by a thread. But I want you to see the scarlet thread. The scarlet thread of redemption, which represents what Jesus has done for us. You see, I said this story is really not about two spies. I want to give you something more. I want to flip over to the book of Matthew, chapter 1, and read just a few verses. But I want to read verse number 5. Remember, she was Rahab the harlot. Most of the time in reading the Word of God, when you're looking at genealogies, you read the man's name or the last name. But in Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 5, it says, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king. Now, here's what I want you to see. In the first chapter of Matthew, there are four women who are mentioned in the monarchical bloodline of Jesus Christ. The monarchical bloodline is the bloodline of Jesus Christ on Joseph's side. You have the monarch, the matriarch, and the Messiah. That's a whole other message, and we may get back to that at some point. But everything in the Word of God was fulfilled according to God's plan, according to the purpose of God, and God chose to use this woman, Rahab, from Jericho, in the bloodline of David. And if you study going down from David, you go all the way to Joseph. And by the way, Joseph should have been king, but he was a carpenter. You find others in the bloodline of David, of Joseph. Four women mentioned in this first chapter. The first one is Tamar. Tamar is the woman who played the harlot with Judah, her father-in-law. You ever thought of how significant it was that Joseph be down in Egypt and he saved corn? I'll tell you why it's significant. Because he had a brother named Judah. And Judah's name is in the bloodline of Christ. And had he not sent Joseph down to work in Egypt and to save the corn, then perhaps Judah would not have been here. You see, sometimes what we don't realize, going back to our motto, it's not about us, it's about him. There may be somebody sitting over here in this youth group that God is going to use to do things that are greater than you and I or any of us together will be able to do. And all we're supposed to do today is be faithful and serve God, because God has a plan. It's not our plan, it's his plan. He knows what he's doing. Amen. Then, of course, excuse me, the second one is Rahab. And the scripture says she's Rahab the harlot, the one from Jericho. Then there's Ruth. Ruth was a Moabite woman. And the Bible strictly forbid the children of Israel from having anything to do with the Moabites. But God had a plan. Then the last one that's mentioned is the woman who had been and was the wife of Uriah the Hittite. And that's Bathsheba. You know, sometimes it's unfortunate, but legalistic Christians will read the Word of God and they judge God. They do. They say, well, he's God. Why would he allow four women like this to be in his bloodline? I want you to understand why. Because he's trying to show you what grace is. You see, all the way down through the Word of God, there's been the scarlet thread of redemption, because the truth is, every one of us, our lives are hanging by a thread. And without Jesus, without his mercy, without his grace, there go I but for the grace of God. You see, the life of Rahab was completely changed. Now noted as being in the monarchical bloodline of Jesus Christ. And the picture and the reason is to show you and I of the redeeming plan of God's grace. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that the Sabbath, that man was not created for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath for the man. The problem that people have today is there's still people that claim grace that are trying to get to heaven by the law. We're not going to get there by the law, because you and I can't keep it good enough. And you say, well, I'm better than you. Well, praise God. Are you good as Jesus? I'm not. I need grace, I need mercy, I need love. And I want to tell you something, there are people today, America's life is hanging by a thread. Amen. It's the prayers, I believe, of the righteous, it's the mercy of God, it's the forgiveness of God, it's the long-suffering of God that still gives us the blessings that we have today. And how about you and I? Have you ever felt like you were hanging by a thread? I have. You say, well, you the preacher. You got it all together. I don't have nothing together. I just know Jesus.
Amen.
Anybody tries to tell you they do? I've had them try to act so hyper spiritual to me, they want to tell me what the Holy Spirit's trying to say. Look, you can't do that. Only God can do that. It's a personal relationship with the living God. Every person needs grace. Paul said, what? I die daily. Who was another one? He looked toward Israel and he prayed three times a day. The great man of Daniel. You and I need God. And there are times that I feel like my life is hanging by a thread. Why? Because I don't have the answers. Because I'm troubled. Because I'm heartbroken. because I look at the things of this world and I have to remember the song that Zach Williams sings, "Fear is a liar." And I serve a God that's greater and bigger. And if it's going to happen, it's not going to be because I figured it out. It's not going to be because I got all the right verses. It's going to be because I believe the verses that I know. Did you get that? You ever been to the Christian bookstore and leave with a bag full of stuff? I quit going. Now, I'm not telling you to not go. I quit going. I'd go in. I'd spend $75. I'd get home. I'd read one chapter. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, we got all these people that are looking for new light, but they're not walking in the light that they already have. Sometimes people say, give me a verse for this, give me a verse for that. Believe the verses you know. You see, sometimes the truth is we all feel like we're hanging by a thread. We feel like life is seemingly overwhelming, and I don't know what I'm going to do. But here's what I'm found. When you are hanging on by a thread, give God the thread. You ever heard the term, I'm just going to tie a knot and hang on? That's kind of where I'm at. According to what we understand on the 31st, this latest executive order is lifted. Folks, I've quit being really worried about it. I've quit being concerned about it. You know why? Because I'm right here. Then I'm here. Then I'm here. Then I'm here. I just decided to stay right here and trust God, knowing that He's in control. And I've tied a knot onto that thread, and I'm going to hang on, and I'm going to walk with Him, and I'm going to talk with Him. And I don't care what this world says. I don't care what judgment comes down. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to keep looking for Jesus to come. And let me tell you something. If you want to do God's work, you can. Because just like Rahab, God's going to send somebody to your house. God's going to cause your phone to ring, and He's going to cause you to run into somebody. The question is, when they do, are you going to be like her and say, I believe. I've heard the story. I know the good news. Why? Because God's hanging on to my thread. You know, one day, I believe, there's a song that says His hand reaches further down than we can reach up. Right? One day, I believe He's going to say, come on up, children. I believe that. But until then, what am I going to do? I'm going to give what I have to God. Here's something. We're going to be ready, Brother Jeff, if you want to come on with a song. Give what I have to God. And you say, well, I sometimes don't feel like I have much left. I don't feel like I have much to give. Can I tell you that God only needs a little bit? You don't have to come to the Lord with the answers. You ever heard anybody say, well, I'm going to come to church when I can live right? Well, you'll never come. Most of the people that come don't live right. That's why you come. You need help. You need strength. You need to be filled up. You need to be charged. All you got to have is a little bit. That's why the scripture says, faith is a grain of a mustard seed. So small, the wind could blow it away. God knows you don't have a lot. The problem that people have is when they think they have a lot. That's when they can't get help from God because they've not reached the end of themselves yet. But if you take the little bit that you have, what you got to do is give it to Him. And if you feel this morning like you're hanging by a thread, make sure God's got the end of the thread. If you're listening this morning, God has spoke to your heart. You don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. The scarlet thread of redemption that runs down through the Scripture all the way through the Old Testament into the New. It's God's plan that He loved you and He died on the cross for you. And all you have to do is cry out to Him. You don't have to have a lot to give. All you have to be is just like this woman and say, I believe. Now, if you understand and look at the history of this story, there was a period of time that this woman was in Jericho. God let her out. She ended up what? She ended up getting married, right? Why? How do we know that? Because she had a child in the monarchical bloodline of Christ. You say, well, I'll never be anything different than I am. You first got to surrender to God and let God heal your broken life. And if you'll do that, God will help you. If God spoke to you this morning, if you're in this house and you want to pray, these altars are open. If you're listening on Facebook or on the internet this morning, I want you to know you can get saved wherever you're at because God's Holy Spirit can be right here and right there at the same time. You and I can't understand that. Quit trying. He's God. You're not.
and let God work in your life. Would you move this morning? Would you stand to your feet as he sings, please?
All to Jesus.